So we hear our gospel reading for this morning. Thank you.
The reading this morning is taken from Luke 24, verses 13 to 35. The walk to Emmaus. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came and went near them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a mighty prophet indeed, and the word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women in our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us when we went to the tomb and found him, it was just as the woman had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread."
Heavy with sorrow, disappointment, bewilderment and confusion, two people go on the 7-mile journey from Jerusalem to Emmaus. One is called Cleopas, the other unknown. Was it Luke is the author of the account? Was it Cleopas' wife? We do not know. But what we do know is that on the journey, a stranger joins them and talks with them. There is something about walking. There is something about getting out into the countryside and just putting one foot in front of the other to provide that thinking space, that time to process, stuff. Or whether it's with people or whether it's by ourselves. And a couple of years back, I did a peak pilgrimage with one of my best friends, Will. Will was stationed to Sheffield as a Methodist minister at the time, and I was in Newark, so it was great to get together. And we did the peak pilgrimage that goes from Iam to Eam in Derbyshire in three separate instalments. That time to just talk and process stuff. And then since November, I've had my daily step target. That when it went up to 11,000, I thought, oh my, how am I going to do that? But that time to get out, to just process stuff, whether it's early in the morning, when the sun is shining, like we've had some glorious weather, or late in the evening, when I've come back from a meeting, looked at my step count and thought, oh, I still need to get some steps in. But you will be pleased to know that I'm already just gone 7,000 steps today, so I'm doing well. Luke is the only gospel writer that records this particular resurrection appearance, though it is much loved and has inspired movements and artists. The time on the road was special, but they only recognized later how special when there was that moment of revelation and transformation, when they realized that the stranger was Jesus, when he took bread and their eyes were opened. They realized how their hearts had been burning as Jesus had opened up the scriptures to them. In their time of need, Jesus comes to them, but not in a way that they first understand. They see him as a stranger, and a stranger completely oblivious to the events that had taken place. But this causes them to recount all that had happened and also what they believed. There is the ministry of Jesus in word and deed, the crucifixion which completed it, and the hope of redemption which filled it with meaning. There is the conquered grave, and there is the witness to that, or the rumours that it is true. There is everything, everything except a personal word from the living Christ, which would in turn make the facts live also. In the account, Jesus says to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, starting from the beginning with Moses, Jesus explains to them the scriptures. It must have been quite a walk. Maybe by the end, the followers felt that they could take in no more, that they had truly reached saturation point. But as they came to Emmaus, it seemed like the stranger was going to carry on, and the followers urged for him to stay. When they were at table, and he took bread, blessed and broke it. Then the penny dropped. The stranger was recognized, and it was Jesus. Their eyes are opened and they recall how their hearts burned. They believe that Jesus is alive and they are filled with joy, so much so that they hurry all the way back to Jerusalem so that they can tell their disciples as quickly as they can. In the actions of taking, blessing, and breaking bread, Jesus was recognized. And we associate these actions with the Last Supper and our remembrance and sharing of communion as we take bread and wine, symbols of God's love and grace, which we will do later on. Jesus' presence by his Holy Spirit makes the feast. The distance between earth and heaven narrows, and we share in heavenly things. We have a foretaste of the heavenly banquet, communion with one another, and communion with God. We know Jesus as we break the bread and share the cup and receive from him for our continuing journey. But where do we see Jesus? Where do we meet with him? Do we recognize Jesus? Do we truly know him? We worship God who is both seen and unseen, who we understand and who is beyond our comprehension. We cannot physically show people Jesus. We can't say, look, here is my best friend Jesus. Look, here he is. See him. No, we can't do that. But yes, we can share with people how we encounter him, how we experience Jesus, how our faith and our Saviour is alive by sharing our story. The story of how God, in God's love and God's grace, walks with us daily through all that we face. We need to be real. We need to be honest. We need to recognise that life can be utterly rubbish at times, and sometimes it can be really, really, really difficult to see God, but that doesn't mean that a God isn't there. And it's often when we look back that we then notice that God was there, that Jesus was present, that by the Holy Spirit we were comforted, we were strengthened, we were given the resolve to cope with what we thought just wasn't copeable. Bruce Milne has said, an encounter with the living Christ is where faith is born. The church of the living Christ is where faith grows and matures. Faith in Jesus is rooted in two things. The historical Jesus, what we read and learn through the Bible, and the Christ of faith, what we experience through the Holy Spirit, through our actions, and through the Christ-like actions of others. Yes, we may have the historical knowledge, but without that personal living relationship, Jesus is a figure of history and not a present reality. When life is difficult and our faith may be shaken, when we are filled with concerns and fear, Jesus is with us. He walks with us and listens. He listens to our fears, our concerns, our doubts, and our longings, and loves us. Today, wherever we may be, whatever we may be facing, Jesus walks with us along the road that we need to tread. A road that may be uncertain, a road that will not always be easy or smooth, but sometimes bumpy, uncomfortable, and painful. A road that we travel with others. Some we will travel with a long time and others for just a moment. Some paths may cross again. Others we are parted by the mystery of death. But nonetheless, we carry memories of them along the way as reminders of how they walked. A road that we journey with Jesus. With Jesus as our goal, Jesus as our compass, and Jesus as our constant companion. Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, the resurrection and the life. Jesus, who travels with us, and Jesus, who we meet in the breaking of the bread. Roddy Hamilton has written these words. You break in, O God, on the road. You break in, O God, exactly the way we don't believe. You break in, O God, and change everything. You break in, O God, with a call. You break in, O God, with an invitation. You break in, O God, with the truth. You break in, O God, with a new realm. You break in, O God, with a new world. You break in, O God, with your intent for the future. God, break in again and call us to be your workers. God, break in again and use the gifts we are to build your realm. God, break in again and change our world once more. May we know the breaking in of God in our world and in our lives as we continue to journey. May we know that Jesus is with us. Amen.